This show's Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. It's your connection to local music and more. And we have a little music and a little theater to talk about on the show today. The third annual Hangin' at the Hangar 1940-style big band dance is at the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul, sponsored by the Chanute Air Museum, and featuring two live bands, the Bud Vandiver Band and the Sandy Hackle Orchestra. Sandy Hackle is with us on the show, as are John and Sue Hansen, and one of Sandy's clarinetists in his band with us on the first portion of Live and Local today. And then later we'll be talking with Callie Leventis about the Student Playwrights Outreach Theater, a collaborative effort between the University of Illinois Department of Theater and Booker T. Washington Elementary School in Champaign. And that is going to be happening tomorrow night at 7 in the Studio Theater of the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. This was a new thing to me. It may have been going on for a while. We'll find out. That's coming up in the later portion of Live and Local. Stay tuned to FM 90.9. Those were two tunes played by Count Basie and his orchestra, Honeysuckle Rose and Smarty, the names of those tunes, and heard here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. The show for the first part is about the third annual Hangin' at the Hangar 1940-style big band dance, which we actually talked about with three of the folks who were with us about a year ago, when was the second annual Hangin' at the Hangar event. It says who, the Chanute Air Museum, where, the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul, when, Saturday, from 5 to 10 p.m. And if you enjoy dancing to big band music, you can hear two live bands. It's a fundraiser hosted by and for the Chanute Air Museum, and it features the Bud Vandiver and his band, in some old big band swing, and also some swing dance lessons, and the Sandy Hackle Orchestra is for the main event, which runs from 7 to 10 with lots of different kinds of music, and Sandy Hackle is with us. So we're Son and Jew Hansen, Sue and John Hansen, and one of Sandy's band members, Jim Walker, who's brought his clarinet along, and he claims he can play for 2 hours straight. But I don't think we'll be doing that, because we don't have 2 hours. Coming up later in the show, we'll be talking about the student playwrights. What is the name of this thing again? The Student Playwrights Outreach Theater, or SPOT, which is tomorrow night at the Krannert Center. We'll hear about that around 12:40 or so. Well, thank you, everybody, for coming in.
Thank you. I can't believe you had me back.
Well, why not? You weren't that much of a disaster last time.
Thanks. I'm fishing for compliments every chance I get.
How was that? Was that a compliment? Or was?
Yeah, that was about
good enough,
par
huh?
for the course.
Yeah, all right. Well, that was Sandy, in case you couldn't figure that out, Sandy Hackle. And John and Sue, why don't you give us an overview of this event? I mean, it's been a year since we've heard about it, and I've probably forgotten everything.
Well, it was pretty successful last year, had good turnout. And again, Bud Vandiver and band and Sandy Hackle's band will be playing again this year, again with Janice and Ron of Dance Club Urbana teaching some swing, possibly some other ballroom dances in some breaks and at the beginning of the evening. The Air Museum hangar with the vintage airplanes will also be open between 5 and about 8:30. People can go walk across the runway to see the vintage planes. Dance itself is at the Rantoul National Aviation Center, which is just across the runway behind the museum. There'll be signs out where you can find the event. Last year was very successful, had a lot of fun. We just hope to repeat the same thing again this year. And I think we'll have some nice weather and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I haven't looked that far ahead in the forecast. And
I think it's supposed to clear up.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
But we're inside, so it's okay.
Well, but unless you're crossing over to see the plane.
Also, last year we had the big hangar doors open, so beautiful sunset as the evening went on, and looking out across the toward the west.
So is the dance itself in the hangar?
In the hangar. Now, this is the modern operating hangar that's behind the museum. 2 years ago, our first event was actually in the museum amongst the vintage planes. That was a smaller barn dance event. But then for the larger ballroom and swing bands, we needed a larger venue. So we moved across the runway, just the short walk, to the large modern hangar where the current operating airplanes have moved back, roped off, and we turned the hangar into a dance floor.
That sounds like a lot of fun. About how many people did you have last year?
A little over 200 guests, and then not counting the two big bands.
How big are the bands? How big is your band, Sandy?
10 pieces.
And the approximate makeup is sort of standard?
Not quite standard. We have five reeds and two brass, piano, bass, and drums.
Just two brass, so what?
Right. We have a trumpet player and then our triple threat performer, Jeff Moma, plays trumpet, trombone, and does the vocals.
Oh, no kidding.
And so when you add the wind players up, between the seven of us, we have about, 22 horns or something like that.
And are you playing?
Yeah, I do play.
What do you play?
I play saxophone, clarinet, flute, alto flute, bass flute, piccolo.
Good heavens.
Have me back one more time. I'll bring my bass flute.
Bring them all. Bring them all next time. We won't need any of the rest of these people here. We'll just make it a one-band show. Do you play bass clarinet?
Well, yes, I do. My entire arsenal at my disposal, if anybody needs a sideman for anything, bass sax all the way up to E-flat saponino. So there's bass, baritone, tenor, alto, soprano, saponino. Bass clarinet, clarinet, A clarinet, E-flat clarinet. Bass flute, alto flute, C flute, E flat flute, and piccolo. And I can manage to supply you with an oboe, bassoon, and English horn if you.
I was going to ask about the double reeds. So that's.
And any recorders 18. You need, I got those too.
That's 18 instruments.
But I won't be bringing them all.
Plus recorders.
Right. And I know five chords on the guitar.
All right. You'll be back sometime this summer here.
Okay.
And give us a one man show or bring some other players with us.
I might mention, Kevin, that he also plays 11 different types of ballroom dance music. So finding a band that can play more than just swing and foxtrot is a real find.
Well, we're going to talk about that after we hear the first selection you brought along, Sandy. Now, this is not your group, right?
No, this is a Glenn Miller doing Jeep Jockey Jump. And I brought that because I've been doing this for quite some time.
This particular tune?
No. Oh. I've been performing for quite some time. And last time I played, I got a request for Jeep Jockey Jump. And now I want everybody to know that I have this in the book.
So you guys can play it now?
Yeah.
You didn't at the time.
No. It's one of those tunes. I think it's something they put, it's by the same guy that did In the Mood, Joe Garland. And I think it perhaps is an answer to In the Mood. It's the same kind of a tempo. People are performing it a little brighter these days. But
this is
Garland's Jeep Jockey Jump.
Jeep Jockey, like the
like
vehicle.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, Glenn Miller Band. No, yeah, Glenn Miller Band, right?
Right.
Here on Live and Local. The Jeep Jockey Jump with the Glenn Miller Orchestra here on Live and Local. That's one of the selections brought along by Sandy Hackle, who leads the Sandy Hackle Orchestra and will be doing so at the 1940s dance event, Hanging at the Hangar in Rantoul, this Saturday from 5 until 10 o'clock. And Sue Hansen is here along with John and Also, we're going to hear a little live clarinet here in a minute from Jim Walker. And Sue had just mentioned before we played that music that Sandy's band is one of the few that can play lots of different types of big band music. I wanted to ask you, you heard the two Count Basie tunes I played up front, right?
Yeah.
Are those the sort of thing that your band does, or at least your band will be doing this weekend? Or
we
not?
Have several Count Basie items that are similar to that. We have What Am I Here For? That's actually composed by Duke Ellington, but I have a Count Basie arrangement. And we have other similar style tunes.
So what sort of constitutes 1940s style as opposed, I mean, why 1940s? Why not some other decade for this event?
Originally, we had tried to tie into D-Day. Our first couple of dances, the first and second annuals, were almost right on D-Day. This year, because of scheduling, we were a little earlier. And so with the Chanute Air Museum, it's a World War II thing. So that's why we're trying to shoot the 40s theme. But then Sandy, again, can accommodate us quite well on that.
And I do have some music that extends all the way up to 1959, like Mack the Knife and Come Fly With Me, and things like that. But
so what are the range of the what's a typical range for a big band group around here to play, and what makes yours atypical or extra typical or something?
Well, I do have all the dance styles that one would need if one wants to do ballroom dancing. I carry a tremendous amount of music with me, so I can hopefully satisfy any requests anybody has. What makes my band atypical is my quality of my arrangements are tip-top. All my stuff is good. There are no bad notes in my arrangements. You'll find a lot of arrangements that have been copied and recopied so many times that the players can't read the notes. We are a reading band with improvisation, and what makes me different is, I hope, higher quality.
But also, what Sue was talking about was that you can play lots of different types of things.
Yes, we do have the rumbas and cha-chas and polkas and
throwing a waltz.
Waltz. We have the Viennese waltz. Now, a lot of people won't have a Viennese waltz. We got at least three of them, so usually I only have to play one. But
I remember the brief ballroom dance class I took when I was in college. You know, we learned what they called the American waltz, which that would seem fine, and then they taught us the Viennese waltz, which was not easy.
Right, it's dance. Strauss waltz is what it is going to be, and it would be in one, and a little peppier.
But you also
it's
had to
fast.
Do, at least the way they taught it was, you had to do like a 180 turn every time you went.
It's a lot of turning. It's very fast, very upright, very, very different than the Dancing with the Stars waltzes, where they're slow music, long sweeping motions. The Viennese waltz is up and you're moving very fast around the room.
And trying to avoid getting dizzy.
Yeah, you get used to that. We are dizzy proof now.
If you've been doing this regularly.
Yeah.
If you haven't been doing this regularly, there is, the whole thing begins with some swing dance lessons.
Janice and Ron of Dance Club Urbana at 5:30 now. The schedule's been shifted a little bit from our original advertising. 5:30 to 6, they'll have a swing. This will be a six-count swing, East Coast swing lesson. During the evening, when Sandy takes a couple of his breaks, there'll be some brief teaching. They'll do perhaps a polka mix or a polka. I'm not sure what Janice has got in mind. She'll see what the audience is up for. But there will be some dance teaching on and off during the evening.
And then the Bud Vandiver Band starts at 6. And any breaks in there for people to catch up on?
No, I think Bud will be playing 6 to 7. He's a little more Dixielands type swing. Is that correct?
I would say yes.
Yeah, and some good dance music. A little earlier feel than what Sandy's band has, but excellent band.
And Sue, you were telling me we actually thought we were going to have Bud Vandiver on the show. You said that these are an older bunch of guys, been yes. playing this forever and ever.
Yes, he said that he played for dances back in the 60s, which, you know, seems
I play
like...
I played with dances back in the 60s. Now, wait a minute.
It must be the 50s, too. Yes, and they play just as volunteers for the museum. They'll play for an hour now and again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll have to get him on here one of these times.
Yes, definitely.
Very nice
He's
fellow.
Very interesting.
And is his band a similar size? Or
I believe or they were. Because at least what they had last year was, about the same size.
I hope I'm not stepping out of turn, but I don't quite think he knows who's going to show up. But it was about 10 people last time.
Yeah, they're very loose-knit it's a group of guys that get together and play when they feel like it.
Sort of like the Medicare 7, 8, or 9 band. If they're even going on, that's, they're going to have 7, 8, or 9, or 5 or 6 for that matter.
I believe it's the same
impression.
Kind of approach.
All right. Well, we do have one of the members of Sandy's orchestra with us, Jim Walker, brought the clarinet. And are you in a position often to just play solo clarinet, or are you just here because he asked you?
Well, I'm here because he asked me, but I do a lot of solo clarinet stuff, too.
You do?
Usually not unaccompanied, but this is going to be unaccompanied.
Well, but that's what I meant.
Sure.
Yeah, you don't run around just playing on street corners or.
No, I would have been driven off many corners.
Well, we got the doors closed here, nobody's out.
The police aren't outside. Okay.
If the police aren't outside, and if the audience hisses and boos, we won't know.
Right.
So
they won't trust me.
What did you bring along? I mean, are you just start playing, and then you'll know what comes.
Well, Sandy and I talked about what to play, and he said, "What do you want to play?" And I said, "I'm really." Totally undecided about it. He said, well, that's what you should do.
All right. Well, let's hear
one of
your undecided tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jim Walker here on Live and Local. Virtual clapping going on. nice. So when you do that, did you have a click track in your mind? You have drums going on in your head, or what
you
were
have
you
to? Yeah, when you get the tune in your mind, of course, and as you improvise, you hear the tune going along, and you're kind of straying from that, and you have to hear a pulse. There's got to be a certain pulse going on, so you can keep the same pulse all the way through. Yeah.
And how long have you been doing this?
Just now. Oh, no. I started playing with bands probably back when I was 16, 17 years old.
And you're older than that now.
Which has been three years. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I won't guess, but you're an older gentleman,
yes.
let's say. And how long have you been playing with Sandy's group?
Well, we've been playing off and on for many, many years. I'm playing kind of a freelance musician, and so sometimes I play with Sandy, sometimes, not, but gosh, we've known each other for many, many years.
Yes.
I couldn't tell you how long, but, probably 30, 40 years. Yeah.
What did you say, 3 or 4 years?
30 or 40.
30 or 40 years.
I would say 42 on the dot. But
on
that's
the dot,
okay.
On the 42.
On
okay.
the dot. Come next September.
So, seriously?
Yeah, I think I met him when I started at Milliken.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time, and then I don't keep track of who I play with when, but it's been a long time.
What did you do at Milliken?
I majored in music education.
And what were you doing at Milliken?
Same thing. I majored in music education, went and became a band director for about 38 years.
Where was that?
Decatur, Illinois.
Oh, seriously?
Mm-hmm. So not seriously always, but most of the time.
You can't always be serious about it.
We played in the Millikan Orchestra together,
yep,
among
yeah,
other ensembles.
So you kind of got your start, both of you, quote unquote, classically, or not really?
All.
Not at all.
I started when I was 6 on the piano, and then when I was in high school, I took up rock and roll and made $5 playing the electric bass and thought that was the greatest thing I ever did in my life. So that's when I took that turn for the...
for the better.
For the better.
No, I started classically, basically, and played, played in just concert bands and orchestras and so forth. And then as you get into weekend musicians, that type thing, you play with the fellows and you learn some of the... It's kind of a long learning process, and then after you get to a certain point, you get comfortable about doing some improvising. And then right now, I'd much rather probably play improvise than I would just read, because that's more exciting, more fun than just reading what's written down all the time.
Yeah, that's where my envy gets going, because I've never learned how to do that, whole improvising thing.
Hopefully, I've not repeated myself in the last half hour, but Jim's one of those people that can read the notes excellently and knows many, many tunes, and he's got it covered. He can do both, and it's rare to find someone who can be excellent at both reading and playing without the music.
Do you have another one? Another undecided tune?
Oh, gosh.
I enjoyed that.
We could do a slow, little slow ballad of... maybe a Benny Goodman tune called Memories of You.
Well, then go right ahead.
Again, it's harder to play a ballad without accompaniment than it would be with that. But
well, then the gauntlet has been thrown down.
Good, okay, well, then pick it up.
You got a beautiful sound. I love your sound. Jim Walker here on Live and Local.
We have that arrangement with a very nice band accompaniment for him.
And I'm guessing you play more than clarinet also.
Yeah, I play tenor sax with him and little flute, but not a lot.
So is everybody, are all the reed players doublers?
Yes.
And triplers and
right.
And so on.
Right.
So they're the real reed players, none of these pretenders who just play sax.
Right. That's correct.
So if there's any University of Illinois, for example, University of Illinois jazz studies majors listening to this, please pay attention, because if you want to make it in this world, you better be able to play more than just the saxophone. Although the saxophone is fine on its own, but if you want to play in Sandy Hackle's orchestra anyway, if that's your aspiration, then that's what you need to learn to do. Sandy Hackle is with us. His orchestra is going to be playing from 7 to 10 during the Hangin' at the Hangar dance event this Saturday in Rantoul. The dance lessons start at 5:30. Bud Vandiver Band starts at 6. And there are barbecue desserts and drinks available for purchase. And it says here, the dress, comfortable to dressy casual or wear any 1940s costume. And I'm guessing that John and Sue Hansen, you're going to be in costume.
I'm working on some big zoot suit pants.
I think I've seen some photos of you guys in costume, yeah, actually.
I've got to get my belt lined up to, like, my middle of my chest.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our program is made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting audiences to enjoy Krannert Uncorked, a weekly free wine tasting almost every Thursday at 5 p.m. in the lobby. More information can be found at krannertcenter.com. Tomorrow at 7 at the Krannert Center, it's the Student Playwrights Outreach Theater. And we're going to be hearing about that in a little while on today's show. Also want to mention that it is the middle of tornado season in central Illinois, here in Tornado Alley. Deadly storms can strike without warning, and you can learn what's being done to improve warnings and what you can do to protect yourself. Call in with your questions. Watch Tornado with Ed Kieser Thursday night at 7:30, exclusively on WILL-TV. What else makes this particular event interesting to you guys, John and Sue?
Well, we're not musicians. Well, Sue is, but I'm not. We're dancers. And here we're doing a fundraiser for the museum. We love the aviation museum. I'm a retired aerospace engineer. So we want to raise some money for the museum. But also our second goal is we want a big band dance, which doesn't happen as often as it needs to happen. And now a dance with two bands almost never happens. And so we're killing multiple birds with one stone, I hope, here. And it's just a lot of fun. Also, in the hangar, it's just a different venue. And we really enjoy putting this event together. We've got a lot of support from the museum people there. And it's just a fun event that I hope we can just keep going from year to year and expand.
And you both do different kinds of dancing, because you were here when we were talking about the Contra Dance event.
Yeah, for March Fest. So we do English, Contra, International, the swing era dances, and the ballroom dances, and some odds and ends of other things. I'm learning English Morris dance, and so we have a lot of fun doing all kinds of things.
What is the next thing we have queued up from you, Sandy?
It's a live recording of the Sandy Hackle Orchestra playing Sea Jam Blues.
Oh, what kind of recording?
Live.
Oh, a live recording. What happens, happens.
Certain instruments stick out further than others, so,
sure.
You know.
Sandy Hackle's Orchestra here on Live and Local. Sandy Hackle Orchestra, Sea Jam Blues by? Is that Duke Ellington, right.
He wrote all four
notes. And that was from when?
That was a live recording done about 2000 in our cola on the street.
Oh, seriously? On the
seriously.
Street? That's a challenging
recorded
place.
By my then 10-year-old son, 12-year-old son.
That's a challenge of a place to record. And that Sandy Hackle here, who's with us on Live and Local in advance of the Hangin' at the Hangar 1940s-style dance event on Saturday from 5:30 to 10 at the Rantoul National Aviation Center in Rantoul. And you can get directions and more information both on the Aviation Center and the Chanute Air Museum by going to their web address, which is aeromuseum.org. And a reminder of the sequence of events, 5:30, a swing dance lesson with Janice and Ron of Dance Club Urbana, 6 o'clock, the Bud Vandiver Band playing vintage big band swing, and then from 5 to 8:30, you can view the vintage planes in the museum's hangar. And from 7 to 10 is the big dance event, swing, foxtrot, cha-cha, and more to the Sandy Hackle Orchestra. And Jim Walker of the orchestra has played some clarinet for us, which we appreciate here on the show. And John and Sue Hansen, who are you kind of the main organizers of this?
Yes, we are.
Yes.
Not only kind of, you just
we are the committee.
Yeah, you're the committee. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. And Sue, you were just saying as we were listening to Sandy's orchestra, just why you like to have them for this event.
Yes, I really sort of, if you call it, interviewed. I listened to a lot of orchestras before we chose Sandy, and not only did I look for the variety, but I looked for, has it got a good dance tempo? Is it something that people will want to dance to? And a friend of mine said, this band is so good, they'll just make you want to get up and dance. And when I went to hear them, I said, wow, she's right. I want them for my hangar dance. So that's it's harder to find it because, as we've said, there are fewer actual dance bands. A lot of people play music from the period, but they pretty much play like, you know, like they want to play. A real dance band is connecting with those dancers. Is my tempo right? You know, a bunch of things that Sandy probably could talk about better than me.
But this is the third annual event, and Sandy's group's done all three.
Just the last year and this year, the first year was actually Big Blue Stem, which you interviewed last month, I believe.
Yeah. Right. Which is a whole other kind of dance.
That was a square dance right amongst the vintage planes for our first annual in the museum.
We moved to the big band because it's really more traditional of the time period. They had a lot of dancers in the hangar, according to my mother, who went through this whole time period, because they had no place to dance. They didn't have dance halls and such on the base, so they went and they had their, you know, social life at the hangar, and so why it's called Hangin' at the Hangar. Big band dances at the hangar were very popular, you know, during that and into the 50s, too.
So it's essentially a recreation.
It is a recreation.
So what might well have happened, even in that very space?
Possibly.
Yep. All right. It's Hangin' at the Hangar on Saturday from 5:30 to 10. For more information, aeromuseum.org. Jim and Sue, thanks very much. And Sandy and Jim, thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Sandy, what are we going to go out with?
Wine by the Sandy Hackle Orchestra featuring Jeff Moma on the vocal.
On Live and Local.
Come on, 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 come on
Sandy Hackles Orchestra here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. And I don't know about you, that makes me feel like getting up and dancing, and I'm not even a dancer. And that is the Hangin' at the Hangar event in Rantoul on Saturday. Next conversation we have is regarding an event that was new to me, the Student Playwrights Outreach Theater, acronym SPOT, is going to be at the Krannert Center in the Studio Theater in Urbana tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And with us on the show for this portion of the program is Callie Leventis, who I was told was kind of the, well, in any event, the contact person. Why don't you tell me what your connection, what do you do, and what's your connection to this event, and then what is it?
Well, this year I'm the director. Last year I was working as the co-coordinator with Rebecca Zizek, who was pretty much one of the co-founders of the project, which started 5 years ago. And basically it's a collaborative effort between Booker T. Washington Elementary School students and the U of I theater students. We take stories written by fourth and fifth graders at that school, and we adapt them into short plays and ultimately put them on in a production for them in a field trip performance, which is happening tomorrow morning, and also for a community performance, which is tomorrow night.
A field trip performance meaning they get out of school.
They get out of school, yes.
And are you in the theater program?
Yes, I'm a senior in theater studies.
And theater studies as opposed to acting, or does that include acting, or what does that mean?
It's separate from acting, meaning it's pretty much everything that's not design or acting in terms of directing, playwriting, arts management, everything else.
Meaning you're not an actor?
Not really, no.
For some reason, that surprised me that somebody would want to do theater but not be an actor. Maybe it shouldn't surprise me. I guess not all directors act, and certainly not all playwrights act. Maybe most playwrights don't.
Well, a lot of people start out in acting, and certainly that's true of a lot of people in my program and a lot of people who are directors and playwrights. But at some point or another, some people find a different path. So, yeah.
And did you do acting in high school?
Yeah, I did. But that kind of wasn't what I want to do professionally.
So did you end up doing the lights and doing the backstage stuff and enjoyed that?
Not so much backstage stuff, not much of a design tech person, but kind of the more intellectual side of theater, I guess, is where I found myself.
So writing the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And are any of yours on this, in this production?
Well, kind of how it worked out this year is that the ensemble of actors that I have about 7 actors from the U of I theater department, and I and also my assistant director, we took the stories and we read them, and then we kind of devised a play from that. We didn't really write down a script so much as kind of work it out inside in the space.
Maybe you said this already, but are the stories from the elementary kids?
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
And this year we have about 16 stories written by 17 students. And, yeah, those are written by the 4th and 5th grade classrooms.
Wow. Can you give us an idea of the nature of some of these stories?
Well, they're usually pretty interesting. There's one classroom, the 5th grade bilingual classroom at Booker T. Washington. They always write superhero stories at some point in the year. So then we get a lot of superhero stories. And we have one that's called The Amazing Ice Girl, where a girl finds out that she has superpowers and she can turn water into ice, and then she ends up defeating a villain who turns out to be her sister, but then they decide that they're going to live happily ever after sharing her superpowers.
That almost sounds like a fantasy of a boy, you know, and considering his sister the villain or something. And what are some other ones, one or two other ones?
Well, there's also some that are just more narratives. There's one just written by these two girls, very much in their voice. You can tell that it's just about getting new boots and how they're really happy about them, but then they break and they're really upset. And kind of those kind of things, it's interesting to try to transform them into a dramatic situation to put on in a play. And they're usually only about 3 minutes long, but there's always something that we can draw out of them and make into kind of a theatrical piece.
Can you, so how did you work in, for example, those two stories? I mean, how do they show up in the piece?
Well, it's not really a cohesive play in that it's not everything doesn't flow into each other, but we do it in 3-minute segments of each show, and we kind of try to arrange it in an order that makes some sort of logical sense, but it ends up being just kind of a mishmash. We also want it to be, we want the stories to be recognized by the students, so we try to make sure that we keep enough of their original story in it so that they know that it's their work on stage.
So you have to change the language a bit in order to make it like a play.
Mm-hmm.
But do you keep many of the words that they...
It depends. Some of them, for instance, there's one play that was basically written sort of as an essay format. And we kept a lot of that language because the way that we are performing it is a girl writing an essay on stage. And sort of that kind of way of doing it makes it easier to use the language. But others, we kind of just take the main events and put it into a dramatic situation.
Are the actors all from the U of I program, or do some of the kids do any of the acting?
No, they're all from the U of I program, but we do try to make it more of an interactive performance, so there will be a little bit of audience interaction with the kids.
Now, the kids in their early morning program, that obviously you're going to have a young audience. In the evening, you don't know what your audience can be.
Evening, the audience is generally a mix of students in the theater program, students just at the university, community members, and also we send letters to the parents of the students whose pieces are performed in it.
And, of course, it's on the Krannert Center website, so mm-hmm. anybody who sees that can show up. Is it a free event?
It is definitely a free event.
Both in the morning and the evening. At 7 o'clock in the evening, well, I guess only people going in the morning are getting bused there from different schools.
Yeah, that's only a field trip performance.
And is that the schools throughout Champaign-Urbana or other schools as well?
No, that's just Booker T. Washington School. It's the school that we work with.
And that's in Champaign?
Yeah, that's in Champaign.
Yeah. Is Bob Smith involved in that program?
Bob Smith is the performing arts and music teacher there, and he's kind of our contact person at the school.
Because we had him on, I'm not sure, maybe about a year ago with some of his kids. They were doing Willy Wonka.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had the guy who was Willy Wonka was with us. And, I'm blanking. Charlie Bucket, is that the?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were both here, and they did a wonderful job. What's the process of getting the stories from the kids? Is that entirely up to Bob and his crew to...
I go into the classrooms of the students with what we have, story boxes. They're just decorated boxes, and I give them the spiel about what happens with Spot. And the fifth grade students already know about this because they did it last year as fourth graders, so they're really excited about it. It's kind of new to the fourth graders, so I put the boxes in their classrooms, and then they can fill them up with stories, and about a month later I take them back, and then we work on the stories with the theater students.
Do you take all the stories, or do you make some selection?
There has to be some sort of selection, because it usually ends up being like 30 or 40 stories, and we couldn't really fit those all into a performance. So it's generally around 20.
So the kids that don't get picked, are they crushed?
I don't think they're crushed so much. It's kind of just an exciting event, and as you said, they get out of school. So really, there's no losers in this situation.
They're just glad to have participated in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. It's the Student Playwrights Outreach Theater, or SPOT. And you said this is, how many years has it been going on?
5 years.
5 years. And about the same time every year?
No, usually it's been in February, and it's also been in the Armory Free Theater on campus. But this year we moved into Krannert for this performance.
And was it easier to do it later in the year?
Nope.
Or no?
It was much harder, but we wanted it to be in the studio this year, but... So we kind of worked it out, and it's happening, so.
Yeah, well, I guess you have to wait till all the other Krannert events are done
before
you get in there.
We're kind of squeezed in there.
Yeah, and so you're graduating.
Mm-hmm.
On Sunday.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And good luck with where you go from here, which is where? Any idea?
I'm not exactly sure yet, but I'll definitely let you know when that happens.
And you're doing some writing? You're doing some playwriting, or are you mostly focusing on the directing?
I'm mostly focusing on the directing, I think, yeah.
So what does one do from here, you know, or try to do? What are you going to
try? Well, in theater, it often involves a lot of unpaid internships, so we'll see.
Best of luck with that. Callie Leventis from the Theater Studies Program at the University of Illinois, and SPOT event, Student Playwrights Outreach Theater, is a collaboration between U of I Department of Theater and Booker T. Washington Elementary School. and involving fourth and fifth grade students writing the stories and the U of I folks adapting them into plays. And it's tomorrow night, the public performance at 7 o'clock for free at the Studio Theater, the Krannert Center. For more information, you can go to krannertcenter.com. Thanks, Callie, for joining us.
Thank you.
It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Forecast calls for a mostly cloudy afternoon. And this is a little bit of a revision from what I read earlier, with periods of showers and thunderstorms. Temperature slowly rising into the middle 60s, so we're now not expected to get up to 70. And tonight, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Some storms could be strong and produce heavy rainfall, especially overnight, the low 66. And tomorrow, mostly cloudy, windy, and warmer with occasional showers and thunderstorms with a high of 78. So that should be nice. On tomorrow's Live and Local, if I can find my crib sheet that reminds me what's happening, we have, who do we have? I can't find it. Who's going to be on the show tomorrow? Here we go. Bacia Calado is a band that is one of three or four that are participating in the Brazilian Music Night at the Canopy Club on Friday. I think it's Friday from 5 to 9. Bacia Calado will be performing live for us on the program. And also we'll hear about the Urbana Pops Orchestra, which is working to get off the ground, auditions going on. And we'll be having that conversation also on tomorrow's show, and hope you'll look forward to that. We have coming up the Writer's Almanac at 101, classical music starts at 106, and we have support for our programs today from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines, beers, and spirits for the serious collector, the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from 2 to 6. Information is available at 337-7704. Or at thecorkscrew.com. You're listening to WYLL 90.9 FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana. We're the listener supported broadcasting service of the College of Media at Illinois.